10 years ago. It's amazing what 10 years does. Amen? Recently, I was looking back at some photos about 10 years ago, and I thought I hadn't changed a bit until I see some photos, and that just reminds you that time doesn't stop. Oh. I saw some of Hernie about 10 years ago, too, recently. She looked like, well, like Vinka, pretty much. Today, how Jesus fills your tank. I want to finish up when you're running on empty. You know, we can go on and on with this because I believe it's so vital and important. Because I think too many people spend their lives running on empty. I just want to do a quick survey. How many of you in your cars have ever actually run out of petrol on the road? Raise your hand. Run out of petrol on the road. Okay. A good number of you. How many have done it more than once? We don't learn, do we? More than twice? Yes, a couple of us. I'm in that party. I'm guilty of that. How many of you are the kind of people that when your tank gets to about half full, you go and fill it up? Anybody like that? I've heard of people. Oh, there's a few of you. Half full, you got to go fill it up. You don't want to get much below that. Okay. You guys make me sick, man. Just you guys always thinking ahead and planning ahead. You know what I find interesting is when Jesus Christ was crucified, when he died, when he was killed and he was put into the grave, his disciples fell apart. I find that interesting. And I scratch my head and say, why? How could they do that? These guys were privileged. They spent 3 years being taught personally from the master teacher, from Jesus himself. How come when he died and was put into the grave, they just fell apart and didn't know what to do? Maybe they were thinking it wasn't supposed to happen this way. Were we wrong? Were we deceived? Were we duped? They fled like cowards and they even denied him like we see Peter. Denying him, denying that he ever knew him, even cursing to let people know he had nothing to do with Jesus. And for several days, until Jesus rose again, these guys were really at the bottom. They were demoralized. They were depressed. In other words, they were running on empty. They were on empty. 3 days later, though, we know the story. Jesus comes back to life. He's resurrected. He did not stay in the grave. He accomplished what he came to accomplish. He died for the sins of the world. His sacrifice and the payment for my sin and your sin was acceptable. Death couldn't keep him in the grave. And he says, whoever believes in me will not see death, but he will have everlasting life. And he showed his power over death by his resurrection again. Aren't you glad we serve a resurrected God? Aren't you glad we serve a God that says, I will give you everlasting life and then show that He has the power to do that? Are you glad? So 3 days later, He rises again. And He goes to meet with His disciples. And something happens at this time. During this time between when He went to see them and His ascension into heaven, something happens. These men who were once cowards are now full of courage. These men and women who were once empty are now empowered. They were defeated. They were discouraged. They were demoralized. Now they're daring men. They're full of boldness and they're not afraid of anyone. What happened and what was it that changed them? What was it that changed them? They were running on empty. And that's why I think this is important for you. Because some of you are still in here and you're running on empty as well. You're seeing the warning light go on and you're seeing how far you can go with the light on. How many more Ks can you get out of it when your low fuel light comes on? Turn with me to John chapter 20. John 20, verse 19. On the first evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." They're locked away in a room. Jesus appears in the room. The resurrected Christ appears. His first words to them are, "Peace be with you." We'll get back to that. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. He showed them the hands where the nails pierced them. He said, "Take a look at this. It's me." He showed him his side where the Roman soldier pierced him with a spear. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Then take a look at verse 29. Then Jesus told Thomas. Remember Thomas? He wasn't there, and he says, "You know, I can't believe until I see his hands. Until I put my fingers in the holes in his hands and in his side, I won't believe that he was resurrected." And Jesus came and showed him. And he made this statement. He told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Let's pray. Father, again, you've called us and brought us together. Lord, we're not here by accident. We're here by your design. And Lord, we pray that you have been blessed to receive our worship, that Lord, it has been beautiful to your ears. But Lord, we're here now to listen to you. Open our hearts and our minds, open our ears. Help us to hear what you have to say to us. Lord, in this room are some who may be on empty themselves. In this room are some who may not have yet put their whole faith and trust in Christ. And I pray that today you would just take the blinders off their eyes. Help them to see, Lord, the wonderful thing that you have done for us, for them. And I pray that today they would receive that with gladness, with joy. That they would totally put their faith, Lord. Christians in this room who have been faithless and powerless, Lord, I pray that today you would lift them up, that you would give them strength, that you would open their hearts, open their eyes, Lord, to your power, to what you have done for them. Father, I pray that you will help us to have faith, even though we have not seen you like Thomas did, that we, Lord, would put all of our faith in you and what you have done. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And we all say, Amen. There's a few things that I believe God wants to do in your life. I don't know what kind of a week, what kind of a month, what kind of a year that you've had so far. But I believe that there's a few things that Jesus did with the disciples that he also wants to do in your life. The first is this: he meets you where you are. We see the disciples scared to death. They're up hiding in a room with the doors locked. They're afraid. They're fearful. They don't know what's going on. Their minds are spinning out of control. And they wonder if the past years of following Jesus have been in vain. They weren't waiting for Jesus. They weren't looking for Jesus. But Jesus came and found them where they were. He walked into the room. It says in verse 19, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came, stood among them and said what? Said what? Peace be with you. Notice a couple of things. First of all, it's late in the evening. It's late in the evening. Have you ever been so tired, but yet you're so upset? Your mind is spinning so much that you can't sleep. You ever been so totally exhausted at the end of yourself? And as much as you want to sleep, you just can't because your mind's not letting you? These men, these people have had a roller coaster of a week emotionally. You know what I mean by a roller coaster? Emotional roller coaster? Hey, they've had their good times. They've been at the bottom. And maybe you're in that similar kind of cycle. Maybe your life has been on that cycle where emotionally you're up there and the next day you can take a dive down. They've had an emotional roller coaster of a week. They've gone through the arrest and the trial and the crucifixion and the death and the burial of their leader, of Jesus Christ. These guys were probably second-guessing themselves. They were asking, were we wrong? Was Jesus wrong? Was everything that He said wrong? And they probably were expecting something else that Jesus had been trying to tell them, something different. They were expecting that He was coming to bring the kingdom to earth, to overthrow the Roman Empire, and now the leader was dead. And Jesus continually said, my kingdom is not of this world. This is not what I've come to do. He tried to tell them. It says that they were behind locked doors. They were scared. Suddenly Jesus shows up among them. When He first showed up in the room, they did not recognize Him. Why did they not recognize Him? Why did they not recognize Him? Jesus shows up. They're here mourning and weeping, and Jesus is standing beside them, watching them. Maybe He comes and puts His hands on their shoulders and is there weeping with them. And they're weeping over the loss of their leader, and He's right there. The truth is, they were not looking for Him. They weren't expecting Him. They weren't aware. They wanted Him. They mourned Him. But they were not expecting Him. They were not looking for Him. Reminds me of that story of the guy who falls overboard in the ocean and he cries out and says, God, I need You to save me. And he's treading water. Along comes a small fishing boat. Says, can I give You a hand, sir? No, I'm waiting on God to save me. Okay, a sailboat comes along. Can I give You a hand, sir? I'm waiting on God to save me. Just keep on going. And a big fishing vessel comes by. He says, can we help you? No, I'm waiting on God to save me. The man drowns. And he goes to heaven. And he says, God, I thought You heard my prayers. I thought You were going to answer my prayers. God says, I tried three times and You wouldn't let me. Tried three times and You wouldn't let me. And sometimes I think we go through life and we don't recognize God. We don't recognize God working. We don't recognize when Christ is doing something. And we take Him for granted. And at times I think when we're going through the hard times and the distress and the valleys and we're really low and we're second guessing ourselves, and we're second-guessing our faith, there's times that we don't see God right there with us. We don't see the things that God is doing with us because we're not expecting Him. We're not expecting to. And we miss Him even though He's right there in front of us. Maybe you're like the disciples. Right now, maybe you feel God is a million miles away. But the fact is, He's closer than you realize. He's right here. He's near to you. And He wants to help you today. I'd like to do something that we don't always do. But today, as we go through this message, I want us to take a moment and stop and pause and pray. And let's pause and pray right now. And I want you to pray in your heart with me. Father in heaven, help me to realize that you are near. Father, even in the dark valleys, help me to expect you, because you said you never would leave me, you would never forsake me. So Lord, even when I can't understand, when I can't reason everything out, I pray, Father, that you would help me to remember that you are with me. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Number two, what Jesus wants to do with you that he did with the apostles, what he did with the disciples, is he gives you encouragement. He gives you encouragement. His first words, Jesus came and stood among them and he said, what did he say again? Peace be with you. He didn't say it once, he said it twice. The first words he said was, peace be with you. And then later he says it again, peace be with you. He encouraged them. He says, calm down, guys. Just relax. Chill out. I'm here. I'm in control. I've got it covered. The very first things that he says to him is, peace be with you. What could he have said? You know, I've thought about that. I thought about his first words, and he had spent 3 years with these guys only to find them cowering, denying him. Now they're locked in a room, scared to death of everything. And he could have said, what are you doing? Where were you when I needed you? Why were you denying me when I was being executed? What were you doing? Didn't you understand the 3 solid years that I spent with you? Why did you abandon me? Jesus could have said these things to them. And some of you, I believe, spend your Christian life feeling like God is continually condemning you. And I want to suggest to you that if you feel this in your Christian life all the time, that it's not from God. If you feel under condemnation continually, that's not the kind of life that God wants for you to live. He came and he says, peace be with you. And when you receive Christ into your life and into your heart, he gives you his peace. He gives you his forgiveness. And he gives you his encouragement. Why did he do this? He understood their confusion. And if you don't get anything else, I want you to understand right now that nobody else understands you as much as Christ does. Nobody else understands how you feel more than he does. He understands how you feel better than yourself. He understands your inner thoughts better than you understand your thoughts. Now, I'm a guy, and there's times I think that us guys do not understand our feelings very much. Now, perhaps women are more in touch with their feelings. There's times that I'm with Jennifer and something's going on and things aren't the way they should be. And she'll sit me down and she'll say, Ken, what's going on? What are you feeling inside? And I honestly don't know what to say. There's times that I'm feeling, but I don't know how to express it to her. I don't know what I'm feeling. And so, ladies, sometimes when your husband says, I don't know, don't get mad at him. Just realize he doesn't know. He's not that smart. But I want you to know. I want you to know God knows. And God understands you better than you think. And he wants to encourage you. He wants to understand you, whether you're a man or a woman. And because he understands exactly how you feel, there's nothing you cannot talk to God about. There's nothing too big. There's nothing too small for him. In Philippians 4, verse 6 tells us, do not be anxious for anything, about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, Present your request to God. It says, but in everything. In everything. He says, you got all two alternatives in life. You can pray, or you can panic about it. You can worry, or you can worship. You can hold it all in, or you can pour your heart out to God, because He already understands you. He understands what's going on inside. I can tell you from personal experience that there are many times in my life where I should be totally stressed out to the max, where there's conflict around me, there's a crisis, perhaps there's criticisms, pressure or deadlines, enough that should be stressed out, but yet I'm not. Why? Because I'm unstressable? No, but because I can talk to God about it. And I also know from personal experience, when I don't talk to God about it, when I don't share with Him how I feel, when I don't expect Him to be there, the stress begins to build. The stress begins to take over, the anxiety, the anxiousness inside. God wants to give you encouragement. Maybe you feel at this time that you've wandered away from God, that you've strayed away. I want you to know that God is still there. If you feel far away from God, guess who moved? It's not God. If you feel far away from Him, realize that He is still God and He is still there. He is still with you. And all you need to do is turn to Him again. Maybe you feel that you've wandered far away. And maybe you feel a million miles away, but it's only one step back. It's only one step back. I want to encourage you to take that step. God is still there. Once again, let us bow our heads in prayer at this time. And I encourage you to pray in your heart with me. Dear Father, I thank You, Lord, for the encouragement that You give. I thank You for the peace that You give. And Lord, no matter what trials may come, no matter what difficulties may come, help me to understand that You are there with me and that You understand me. You understand me better than I understand myself. And at times when I don't know exactly what it is that I'm feeling, and I may not be able to express it perfectly, I may not be able to understand it and say it in a clear way, but You understand and You know. And for those of you who feel that you've wandered away from God, I want you to know that He is only one step away. And just pray, Father, even though I've wandered away, I know that You've never left me. You've never moved. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, for sin that has separated me from You. Forgive me for wandering away. Forgive me for not relying on You. Forgive me for not taking everything to prayer. Lord, today I want to commit myself to bringing my requests, my needs to You in prayer first. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Number three is this. He shows you His love. This is the third thing He does when you're running on empty. This is what He did to His followers that day. Verse 20. After He said this, He showed them His hands and His side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. He showed them His love. He showed them and He reminded them what it is that He did for them. He's validating first His identity. He's saying, it's Me, guys. This is not a dream you're having. This is not a vision. This is reality. Touch Me. I'm back. This is really me. But the second thing that he was doing here was showing them, reminding them how much he loves them. How much he loves you. I believe one day that when you get to heaven, and I pray and trust that you have this issue settled in your heart. Heaven is not for everyone. Heaven is for everyone who has trusted in Christ as their Savior and received forgiveness of sins. And I pray and trust that you have this settled in your mind and your heart today. I pray that it's been settled. If it's not, that today you would settle this. Receive Christ as your Savior. Repent. Ask Him to forgive you of your sin and save you. But when you get to heaven, I believe that you will see Jesus Christ and He'll have those hands with the nails in them. And at that time, you'll be able to see them and to touch them. You'll be able to see the pierce that was in His side, the wound, the scar that was there from the soldier piercing Him with a spear. You'll be able to see that. But He says, blessed are those who believe and have not seen Me. One day you will, but not right now. But He was saying, I love you this much. You've heard that expression. You know, God, how much do you love me? Jesus, how much do you love me? And the image is He spreads out His hands and He says, I love you this much. And we see the nail prints in His hands. A reminder of what He did for us. This is how much I love you. If there was no one else on earth except for you, I believe Christ would have died for you. A man by the name of Nee, Watchman Nee, made this comment that touched my heart, touched my life years ago. He said that I cannot live without God, but God cannot live without me. Because God loves me so much. And I don't believe that's egotistical as much as it is thankful for the mercy of God. God cannot live without me. And if you were the only one on earth, Christ would have died for you. But He died for the sins of the whole world. The greatest act of love ever done on your behalf was not done by your parents. It's not done by a husband or wife or your boyfriend or girlfriend. But it was done by Jesus Christ. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. He says, I've called you friends. The greatest thing ever done in love for you was that Jesus died for you on the cross. How does that help us? Well, when I feel overwhelmed, when I feel I'm running on empty, when I feel I'm at the end of my rope, I can relax. I can relax. I believe so many people are running on empty throughout their life because they don't feel loved. They don't feel valuable. They don't feel worthwhile. And so they're spending their lives trying to feel loved, trying to feel valuable, trying to feel worthwhile. And they're trying to prove something to somebody, and maybe they don't even understand it, but they're trying to prove something. But if you can rest in the knowledge that Christ loves you, that He accepts you, that you are worthwhile to Him and valuable to Him for eternity, you can relax. Number four is this. He offers you forgiveness. He offers you forgiveness. A couple of weeks ago, I filled up this baptism tank. We were having a baptism in the afternoon. I filled it up on Saturday, put the heaters in, came in on Sunday morning, and it was gone. Not the baptism, but all the water. It was gone. It was drained completely empty. I get in to inspect it a little closer and realize there was a plug there, and in the plug was just little bitty twisty tie thing that, you know, the wire tie things. It was just stuck in there. Just a slight, very small leak. And that very small leak drained out all the water of this baptism. That's a lot of water. It takes an hour and a half to fill up. That's a lot of water. There are two big leaks in your tank. They are guilt and one's resentment. And the cure for both of them is forgiveness. Guilt and resentment are twins that rob you of joy, robs you of life. It robs you of your energy, and it drains your tank. You cannot live with guilt and resentment and live a happy, fulfilled life at the same time. Something has to go. It has to leave. And forgiveness is the answer to both. You see, we live in a broken planet. A broken planet where there's this thing called sin. When I hurt you, I feel guilt. When you hurt me, I can build up resentment. And so I build these things up. And I build up my guilt. And I have sinned against God and I live with that guilt. And it's not taken from me. And I hurt other people and they hurt me. And then I build resentment up towards them. And it's a life-draining exercise. It's a life-draining experience. How do you let go of guilt to God? How do you let go of resentment? There's only one way, and that is through forgiveness. Through forgiveness. The first thing is that you need forgiveness. If you're here today, you were born in sin like every other one of us, like myself and like everybody, like the whole world. The Bible tells us that we are in desperate need of forgiveness. You are a desperate sinner. And I am a desperate sinner. And I can't do anything about that. I can't get psychology and try to make me feel better about myself. I need forgiveness. I have sinned. Only Christ, only God Himself can take away my guilt, can take away my sin. And the next thing Jesus said in verse 23 of John 20, if you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying, guys, I have forgiven you. And because I have forgiven you, I expect you to do the same thing to other people. That's a reasonable expectation, to pass it on. Cut other people a little slack. Show other people grace. To forgive. Freely you have been forgiven, now you freely forgive. And that is the cure to this sickness of guilt and resentment. Guilt and resentment keep you stuck. Guilt and resentment begins to warp a person. It begins to warp a personality. And the more you live with this, you become angry. You become bitter. You become sarcastic. You become cynical. And it ruins relationships. It'll ruin your life. Guilt and resentment. When you get garbage in your house, you've got to take it out frequently, or else the house starts to stink. Amen? There's some theology for you. Take out the garbage, or it begins to stink up the whole thing. You don't just keep piling it up in the corner. Take out the rubbish. Okay, well, let's put it in this bedroom for a while. And you fill up a bedroom. Well, we got 4 bedrooms. We got 3 more to go. And you fill up another bedroom. You got to get it out. What is it today that perhaps you need to let go of? Maybe you're here and honestly, you've been forgiven. You've entered a relationship with Christ. You've received Him as your Savior. But there's stuff that you're hanging on to. And we'll call it bitterness. We'll call it resentment. Unforgiveness. There's something that you're hanging on to. You need to let it go because it will destroy you. It will warp you. It will warp your personality. You need to let it go not only because of that, but because Christ tells us to. We're commanded to forgive. We live in an imperfect world and you will be hurt. I will be hurt. Sometimes people will hurt you and it's accident, but they still hurt you. Perhaps they didn't mean to hurt you. But they do it. And yes, sometimes people mean to hurt you. But God still says you need to forgive. You need to forgive. You need to offer forgiveness every time and don't build up resentment. Take out the rubbish. Don't let it pile up in your life. What is it that you need to let go of? Maybe you say, I can't do it. They hurt me. They hurt me too bad. And the truth is, that's right, you can't do it. You need power. You need the power of Christ. In His power, you can forgive. In His power, you can let go. You can let go of resentment. Don't rely on your own power. Forgiveness is what lets you get on with your life. And at this time, let's again bow our heads, and I want you to open your heart and ask God to show you anything in your life that you've not given over to Him. Any unforgiveness and bitterness. Father, I can't live with bitterness in my life. I can't live with resentment. And You've commanded me to forgive, to show grace, to extend grace to others, to extend forgiveness. So Lord, if there's anything in my life that I am hanging on to, anything at all in my life that is causing resentment, I pray that You'll bring it to my mind and let me today choose forgiveness. Lord, I can't do it in my power because part of me wants to say they don't deserve forgiveness. A part of me wants to say I don't want to let them off the hook. But Lord, help me to trust You in it. And help me to rely on Your power, on the Spirit. I pray that You will give me the power and the strength to be able to do what I must do. Bring to my mind anything, Lord, that I have held on to that needs to be let go of. In Jesus' name, amen. Forgiveness is the key to happiness. Psalm 32, verse 1. Oh, the happiness of him whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Oh, the happiness of a man to whom Jehovah imputeth not iniquity. Interesting that whenever you're empty on the inside, whenever you're spiritually empty, people tend to try to fill that emptiness with something. They try to fill it with something. What is it that you have filled it with in the past? Or what is it that you are trying to fill it with today? Some people fill the emptiness with entertainment. Hours and hours of entertainment. Some people simply come home and veg out and switch off mentally, emotionally, and every other way in front of a television until bed. Some people try to fill up the emptiness with food, relying on food, alcohol. Some try to fill it with pornography. Some try to fill it with relationships or illicit relationships, flings. Some try to fill this emptiness with bars or with pills or some kind of a drug. All of these things, be they good things or bad things, have one thing in common. That is, they don't last. They don't last. None of them can keep you filled up. And you end up being hungry again. You end up with that emptiness inside again. My friends, only Jesus Christ offers you the permanent filling inside. He says, I will put myself in you. I will put my spirit in you. After Christ was speaking to the men, he says, peace be with you. The Bible says that he breathed on them. He told them to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't believe at this time, that moment, they received the Spirit. Because in Acts 1, we're told that they were to wait. Jesus told them to wait until you receive the promised Spirit. The one that I've spoken to you about, he said. And so at this time, they were told that they would be receiving it. It was coming. It was the promised one that they were told about. Jesus was leaving, and when he left, he would send another one like him to replace him, to be with them, and to never leave them. He says, I'm going to put my Spirit inside of you. I will fill you up with me. That emptiness that you feel, that emptiness that you have inside of you, I can fill up. And that's the next thing that Jesus does. Have you received Christ today? The Bible says that any of us who are in Christ, we have the Spirit. We have His power. It's there. If any man doesn't have the Spirit, he's none of his. The Spirit is within you. But it does not mean that you've allowed Christ. You've submitted yourself to Him. You've submitted yourself to His power. It doesn't mean that you've used the power. You have it with you. But if you can still go through your life relying on your own strength and on your own power, and so many and too many do that all the time. And anger and resentment build up, and you're not relying on the power of God in your life. And you're running on empty. And today I want to invite you. I want to invite you to rely on the power of God, to rely on Christ, to look for Him, to look to Him for that filling of that emptiness that's inside. Stand with me, please. Everybody with your eyes closed, if you would. Let's have some privacy in the room as much as we can. Jesus Christ wants to fill that tank. Only He can fill you. And I believe many of you in this room are in one of two places. Some of you are believers, and you've been running on empty. You've been running on empty. You've been like the disciples were, just fearful, panicked, locking yourself away, locking out other people. And you've been trying to fix things with your own strength, with your own power. You've allowed perhaps bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness to creep into your life, and it saps you. I want to encourage you today to come to Christ. Come to Him. He has some words to say to you. The first are, peace be with you. I want to give you my peace. I didn't make you to live with such anxiety, such turmoil. He wants to show you His love. And today, as you're thinking in your heart and in your mind about Christ, picture, if you would, those nail prints in His hands, the spear scar in His side. And He says, I love you. We can't be like Thomas and say, God, I only believe if I see You. He said, blessed are all those who believe, but they haven't seen Me. But you've heard. Everything that God wanted to tell you has been written down in His book. And Christ came, was crucified, died, and He left. And He says, I'm going to send you my Spirit to be with you, to guide you, to lead you, to convict you, to instruct you, to empower your life, to empower you to walk in the way I want you to walk. I want to do something with everybody's head bowed, and that is all who would say, Pastor Ken, I feel, yes, I've been running on empty, but today I want to come to Christ, and I want to rely on His power. I want to receive His love. I've been running on empty, but I want Him to fill me. I want to rely on Him today. Is there anyone in the room that's their prayer this morning? That's your prayer today. Lift your hands up. Lift your hands up. Amen. I see that. Anyone else? Today, Pastor Ken, I am coming to Christ. I'm coming to God. I am a Christian. I'm a believer. But today, I'm coming to Him. I see that. Are there others? Thank you. Are there others? Amen. I see that too. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I want to ask another question. Is there anyone here who would say, and again, this takes a good deal of honesty, but maybe you've been even coming to churches or coming to this church for a while now, but there's never been a specific time that you know of where you made the conscious choice to receive Christ as Savior. Maybe you thought just, you know, going to church will make things okay. Or doing certain things will make things okay. But you've never received Christ yourself as your Savior. You've not done that. There's never been a time in your mind that you can remember that God has called you and you've come in repentance and said, God, forgive me, a sinner. I ask you to come into my life and save me. If that's you, I ask you also, would you quietly slip your hand up and let me pray for you? I've not received Christ as my Savior yet. Would you raise your hand? Is there someone in this room like that? I've not, that I know of, received Christ as my personal Savior. Is there anyone? Just want to lift you in prayer. Will not get you. Will not embarrass you. Is there anyone who would acknowledge that? I've not received Christ yet that I know of as my Savior. Pray for me, Pastor Ken. For those of you who acknowledge that you've been perhaps running on empty for a while, you want to come to Christ. I want to invite you to come. I want to invite you to come to Him. Step out where you are too. Come to the front. Kneel at the front in some prayer if you would. And in a moment, I want to pray for you. I want to lift you up as well. And I'm going to ask God to lead you, to empower you. If there's forgiveness that needs to take place in your heart and life right now, that's the time to do it. I want to encourage you. Would you come at this time? I'm going to pray in just a moment, but you need to come. If God is calling you, step out where you are. It's God calling you. With everyone's head bowed, eyes closed, would you come? Amen. Just come to the front. Spend a few moments. Spend a few moments between yourself and the Lord alone. And I'll lead us together in just a moment. Would you come? Anyone else? Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank that it is sufficient. It is enough. It is all that we need. You have given us what you want for us to know. But Lord, I thank you for speaking to our hearts through it. I thank you for those who have acknowledged, Lord, that they perhaps have been on empty. They need to rely on you. They need to come to you. Lord, I thank You especially for those who have come forward today. And I pray that You would take them, that You would show them Your love. Lord, that You would encourage them, give them Your peace. Lord, I pray that if there is unforgiveness that is taking place, that has taken place, or bitterness, or guilt, I pray that they would find the remedy right now in forgiveness. I thank You for the forgiveness that Christ offers us for our sin. But Lord, help them to also extend forgiveness to those that have hurt them on purpose, intentionally, or not intentionally. I pray, Father, that they would rely on Your power to do this, not their own. That they, Lord, would be encouraged and strengthened through the Spirit. And Lord, help them to live the successful, the victorious Christian life that You've called them to live. I thank You, Lord, and I praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.